Good night, everybody. Welcome all to our Anytime users. Today, we're going to speak about what is the challenge, the Mitzrayim in your life, and what is the Kriyas Yamsuf in your life? How can we define the issues and then find solutions to them? We're going to be doing a little hachana for Shvi'i Shel Pesach, and as well trying to encapsulate, internalize, and live the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when we come to Kriyas Yamsuf, which is when the Jewish people saw unbelievable revelations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, where they experienced things that were above and beyond, we have to try and define what's so special about it. What is so great about it? The Mishnah Berurah says that if a person says Shiras Hayam b'simcha, and this is from the Zohar HaKadosh, with unbelievable joy, then he will experience a kaparas avinus, a mechila of his sins. And the question is why is Shiras Hayam, why is Az Yashir, why is the splitting of the sea and reliving that, being joyful with that, so unbelievable that a person is going to get a kaparas avinus? This Shira, this song of Az Yashir, is the song of La'asid Lavoi. It's the song of the future of the Mashiach. So that means there's something very, very special about it. That means there's something in it which we have to attach to for our own personal geulas. Because every single time we attach to the geula asida, the ultimate redemption, that's mamshich, that pours in and brings in a geula koyach, a power, a force of redemption, of savior, of hope in our lives. And when we say in Esa Machdavet Kil Shuascha Kivinu Kol Yoyim, the Arizal says, for the Chavetz Chaim, the Seder Shavuot Avoda, many other Sfarim, that we have to attach to the Koyach HaGeula. And that Koyach HaGeula, that power of redemption, will bring geulas and redemptions and saviors in your life. So if we attach to this Koyach HaGeula, we can have redemptions in our lives. So the question is what's so special about the Az Yashir? What's so special about the Kriyas Yamsuf and this whole entire part of the story? Going on, we have that within the story of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says as follows, V'yavo v'nei Yisrael b'sechayam, and they went inside the sea, b'yabasha, on the dry land, v'hamayim lahem choyma, and the water was a wall. Water is not naturally a wall. So here the water was a wall. Miminam, on the right side. Umismoilam, on their left side. Or for you guys, it's miminam and smoilam. So the question is, by the next time it talks about this, it repeats this idea, 7 psukim later, pasuk chav tes, perak yodalad, uvinei Yisrael halchu b'yabasha b'seichayam, v'aymayim lahem choyma, miminam usmailam. We find a repetition in the psukim. We find that there is one difference in this repetition, however, and that is the first time it says choyma in pasuk chav beis, it says it with a vav. However, when it says choyma in pasuk chav tes, it says it without a vav. And the question is why does it say with a vav, and why does it say without a vav the second time? Chazal tell us that the Malachim came and they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on here? Halu of the Avodah Zarah, Halu of the Avodah Zarah. These ones are serving Avodah Zarah and these ones are serving Avodah Zarah. Because in Mitzrayim, they served Avodah Zarah right up until where they did the Karban Pesach. So if so, why are these better than those? The Mitzrayim shouldn't be any better than the Jews. And that's the second pasuk, Chof Tes. The Vav is missing to give us an indication of Chema, of anger. There was an anger of the walls that were standing for them. These Malachim were causing the miracles. That, you're not so kosher. You also did Avodah Zarah. Mitzrayim did Avodah Zarah, but so did you. And question is, what's going on? Why all of a sudden do the angels jump up. We had all the makas. We had all the different miracles. No angels jumped up and said, hey, why are we doing miracles against the Mitzrayim, miracles for the Jews? Hare, the Mitzrayim serve Avodah Zarah and the Jews are serving Avodah Zarah. And that was when they were past that Avodah Zarah. Why do the Malachim all of a sudden jump up here and start having a tactical argument against the Jews doing Avodah Zarah? It should have been much more until now. So, like everything in Judaism, it's a machlekes, and there's many different opinions. So we're going to bring one line of thought from the Midrash Seichel Tov, who was, seemed to be, either he wrote it or he put it together, an Acharon in the 12th century, and the Be'er Mayim Chaim from Tzanz, who say that who was this talking about? Who are these Malachim talking about? Who was it going on? It was going on Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram, apparently, according to Targum Yonasan, stayed behind in Mitzrayim with Parai. They stayed behind. When the Jews went out, they stayed behind. Targum Yonasan explains that when Parai wanted to know about the Jews, he talked about Bnei Yisrael, and Targum Yonasan explains that the ones who were talking about Bnei Yisrael were Dasan and Aviram. They were reporting to him. So, this means that when the Jews went, there was a first group, and that was when the Pesukim said, Chayma, Pasuk Chapez, and when it says Chayma without the Vav, the Chayma without the Vav, it's referring to Dasan Vaviram, that they went through second. And then the Malachim were tying on them, hey, what's going on? Why did Dasan and Aviram get to go through? Why are we not crushing them? Why are they better than the Mitzrayim who we're about to crush? And that we can understand. Dasan and Aviram in this same Parsha B'Shalach have a whole mice of Daman. They were with Kairach. They were the ones who told on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, now I understand why the Jews are in Mitzrayim because of the Sinas Chinam, because of all the Lashon Hara that's going on. Because Dasan and Aviram told Parah about Moshe, about the horrible, in Parah's eyes, acts which Moshe had done. That's Lashon Hara. That causes the Galus. So now we know why it says Chayma and Chayma. But the question still is, it begs a very, very big answer. Mario Diskin gives an approach to this, and he asks this question, is that why were Dasan and Aviram left behind Mitzrayim? As in, we have Makas Choshech. Makas Choshech filtered out four-fifths of Klal Yisrael. Four-fifths of Klal Yisrael died in Makas Choshech. They were left behind in the most literal sense. And that was because they didn't want to go out. Dasan and Aviram seemingly didn't want to go out either. Hooray, the Jewish people left and they were stayed behind with Parai. So if they were still there with Parai, that means they didn't want to go out. So why are they better than the other four-fifths? The Rush asked this question as well. And that's why they came second again, because they were left behind. So if they were left behind, they seemingly didn't want to go out. So how could they have survived the Makas Choshech? How did they end up getting out? And the big challenge with this in general is what was going on in Makas Choshech. Makas Choshech, it says again that the Rishayim didn't want to leave, so they died. The question begs is, why wouldn't they want to leave? They were in Mitzrayim, it was the worst Shibud, babies were getting killed, there was a Avodas Parach, the men were wearing aprons in the kitchen and the women were doing hard work. It was miserable, it was horrible, it was challenging, it was difficult, it was dark, it was the worst tsaros we ever experienced. So that's the case. How did anyone not want to go out? How did these people have a desire to stay in? And it wasn't just a few people, it was four-fifths of Klal Yisrael. The Midrash says it was because they had a certain level of kavod and oisher, but that could have only been true for a very, very minute amount of people. That could have only been a reality for small sections and factions of Klal Yisrael that had some connection to wealth and kavod. But most of Klal Yisrael was slaves. Most of Klal Yisrael was in the darkest, deepest, dampest, dirtiest, worst situation we could possibly imagine, or Chas V'Shalom really never imagine. So if that's the truth, then who didn't want to go out? The few people who had money? That was the very people. This was four-fifths of Klal Yisrael. Millions and millions of people died. They weren't all rich, riding high. Klal Yisrael was a poor nation. They were in distress. They were slaves. This was the Galus for all of history. That's what Mitzrayim was. So even after the Medrash explained to us, maybe some people wanted Kavan Oysher, why did four-fifths not want to go? This is a tremendous question. And it leaves even further that how was Dasan and Aviram, as the Rush, not included in them? So we have a Dasan and Aviram. We're the second group in the Chayim Echema. It doesn't, though, explain how they got out of Mitzrayim when four-fifths died. And then on top of that, we're asking, why did four-fifths not want to go out? This was the worst cost in history. They said, Vanitzaku, they screamed, Lachatzeinu, Amaleinu, all the challenges, all the difficulty, all the pain, all the suffering. They didn't want to go out now? What's going on? And to say what some people want to answer, no, well, they were in the slave mindset and it was challenging. So that seems like a logical justification why they wouldn't want to go out. But the pasuk says they were rishayim. They were evildoers. They were the worst people. It seems to blame them for it. If it was just this simple justification of, listen, it says lech lecha by Avram. Avram had to leave his homeland. It's hard to leave your homeland. So then they're not rishayim. Then they're comfortable. They see the Mitzrayim are getting killed. So it's some level of justification. Wouldn't coin them and define them and express that they are the Rishayim they want to go out. It seems to be machmas that because of their rishus, therefore they didn't want to go out. So we have to understand this midrash that's brought in Chazal, Rishayim, that they didn't want to go out. The Rishayim didn't want to go out. And how did Dasan and Aviram beat that? Going on, the question is, when you come to Az Yashir, it says, Ve'aminu b'Hashem, Uvimoyshe Avdo. They saw the sea split, and now they believed in Hashem and Moshe. What's this that they believed in Hashem and Moshe? They believed in Hashem. What's the critical aspect here that when they see the ultimate Giluim of Giluim of Giluim, the revelations, upon revealness, upon direct connection with Hashem, they say, oh, believe in Hashem and Moshe. They believe in Hashem. That's more than enough. What's the belief in Moshe that the Torah is stressing over here? And similarly, what is the nekuda of the Zeh Keili Vanveyu? They point and they say, "Ah, there is God, Vanveyu, and I shall beautify Him." And this is a very, very big yisoid in Kol Torah Kula in our lives, beautification and mitzvahs. What's this idea that they pointed and saw God? What was nischadish to them? What was new to them? What did they gain more than all the Eser Makas? And then now they say, I want to beautify Him. Now is the Anvehu. How do we understand this pasuk? And the last two questions are, why do we stop eating matzah? Matzah is the bread of Emunah. We ingest the reality of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's eat it the whole year. Let's grow higher and higher. Let's get more kizesim. Every single eyes, you're getting mitzvah, you're getting emunah. Why do we lose that? This is Zayah's question. And Rav Tzadok as well explains the idea. And with wrapping this up, is what's going on in Mitzrayim? What is the ikur, the main thing that the Mitzrayim did to us? What did they cause us? What did they take away from us? And what did we gain by the Geula? What did we gain by the Exodus? What do we gain by becoming a nation? These are the things we're going to have to define to understand the Yetzias Mitzrayim and to understand what the godlessness was of Az Yashir. This is what we're going to try and define now. There's a story with someone named Rev Pupka. Rav Pupka was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. And Rav Pupka said he had a friend named Hirsch Berman. And they were sitting after the Holocaust, Rav Pupka and his friend Hirsch Berman, and they were talking. And Hirsch Berman was in Auschwitz, and many, many, many people we all know passed away in Auschwitz, families murdered, tragedy upon tragedy. And Rav Pupka says to Hirsch Berman, who at that point had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and it was by the Seder time. And he said, Hirsch, how happy are you? How amazing is your life? You were in the dark of darknesses, the challenge of all challenges. You lived within death, And now you're sitting in life, in simcha, in happiness, in joy. You're sitting with your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. This must be the greatest siddurim you could have ever imagined in a million years when you were in Europe. And Hirsch tells him, "No, Rav Pupka, these were not my greatest siddurim." Pupka says, what are you talking about? What could be greater than this? He says, "You have to understand that my greatest seder was in Auschwitz." So Pupka says, "Please, do tell." He says, "We were in Auschwitz, and as everyone knows, we got maybe a little coffee, a little watered-down soup, and an old, crusty piece of bread. And this was obviously pikuach nefesh. Every little calorie you could get, every morsel of food, every liquid, was a matter of life and death. And they absolutely had to get whatever they could. And now, Pesach was coming up. And all the Gedolei Ador, all the Poskim, all the Rabbanim Paskin, that of course you eat the bread because it's a mitzvah of the Chai Bahim. And as hard as it was for a Yid to eat bread on Pesach, they had no choice. Coming up on the Seder night, they had no matzah. They had no maror, and they had no charesis. They said to themselves, "What can we do? How can we celebrate the Seder? Where is our ba'avor zeh, our over this, where the matzah and maror are lefanecha?" So Hirsch and his friend said, "We're going to recite the Seder. We're going to say over this Yis Mitzrayim. We're going to live the ideas. And tonight, to fulfill the Manishtana, our Manishtana will be on this night, just on this night, we will not eat our bread portion from the time we're not allowed to eat chametz. We will not eat those precious calories, that precious sustenance, those little crumbs of life. The Mesiras Nefesh they had was something that we could never imagine in our lives." And they sat around the Seder, which was just dirt floors in some sort of structure, dirty, damp, dark. And they were saying over the Seder. And they got to the line in the Haggadah. And they said, "We're free. Men, now we're free men." They all looked around with the same feeling. How are we free men now? Hirsch got up and he said, "The Nazis can take away everything from us. They can take away our families. They can take away our friends. They can take away our clothing, our money, our food. There is one thing that they can never take away. They can never take away our emuna, our trust, our faith, our connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They can never take away the fact we are souls. They can never take away our connection with God." Hirsch said that that was the happiest Seder of his life because he lived true freedom. And true freedom is that you live as an neshama. You live as a spiritual being. You live that this world cannot do anything to you, cannot affect you, cannot move you, because you don't live in this world. You live as a soul. You live with Hashem. You live with trust. You live with connection. This was the happiest Seder of his life. What did Mitzrayim try and take away from us? It says we were goy mikarev goy. We were absorbed into another nation. We had our names. We had our clothing. And we had our language. But we didn't have our kedusha. We didn't have our neshamas. We didn't have our connection. For 209 years, they did not call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said, "Vanitzaku," after 209 years, Hashem, Vayishma Eskol. He listened to their voice. That was an unbelievable miracle. But they lost their connection with Hashem. They assimilated. As Netziv and the Beis HaLevi explain, they were mashcho eser lasam. They lost their kedusha aspect. They fell to the 49th level of Tumah. If they would have fallen to the 50th, the Sfarim explained, they would have been obliterated. They would have been gone. So, what was Mitzrayim? It was a kisoy, it was a covering, it was a blockage, it was Tumah. Tumah is blockages between our physical bodies and our souls. We were shells of Jews. We had language, we had clothing, and we had names, but we didn't have our essence. When the Jews were in Mitzrayim and they got promised that they would leave, what do you think they said? You're a Russia. You're still so connected to Vorazara. Halu of the Vorazara. Halu of the Vorazara. These ones say Avorazara, and these ones say Avorazara. They were doing Avorazara up until the Karban Pesach. That's where they were doing Avorazara until. So, what happened? They were mashchi yudeim by the Karban Pesach. That means, how could they have believed in themselves? Hashem says, I'm going to take you out. And they say, no, we're Avorazara. We're Rishayim. Says Chazal, the Rishayim didn't want to leave. It wasn't from a practical justification and understanding that, yeah, we're comfortable here. They were Rishayim. How could Hashem take them out? This is how they felt. And this was their mistake. The Rush explains, how did Dustin and Aviram get out? They stayed behind with power. They were Karach. They were the ones at the Man. And they were the last ones to go into the Yam, according to some of Farshim. So how did they get out? Says the Rush. Loi Nisyayeshu min hageula. They never lost faith of the redemption. They knew that no matter what, no matter what level of tumah, no matter what level of difficulty, no matter what level of sin that they do, ultimately they are a soul. Ultimately they are holy. This is what a Jew is. And we learned that from Dustin of Yerim. They were still They were still in challenge, in difficulty, in sin. They were with Pyro. They stayed behind. The wall said about them, they're serving Vorazara. Why should we stand for them? And the answer was, because Loi Nishayesu Min Hagula, says the Rush. They believed, ultimately, that no matter what, they can always tap into their souls. They can always come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something that is the antithesis to the Mitzrayim mindset. The Mitzrayim mindset is that you are blocked off. You are on the 49th level of Tumah. You are a shell of a Jew. That's all you have. And we would have slipped to lower than that if we would have been there longer. And Dustin of Yerim believed beyond that. As strange as it sounds, they're the ones who swore loy nisai shu min hagula. That's why even though they were shayim, they were able to get out of the rush. Because they believed in the part of them that is untouchable. You have a part of you which is untouchable. You have a part of you which cannot be affected. You have a part of you which is beyond you. That's your soul. That soul is something which we can attach to at all times. Explains Rev Tzaddok. It says, Vayaminu v'moshe, Vayaminu v'Hashem v'moshe avdo. Rav Tzaddik explains, what's Vayaminu v'Hashem v'Moshe Avdoi? That they believe in themselves. That they gain confidence. A further strengthening of the fact that they are souls. That they are connected. That they are one with Hashem at all times. That's Vayaminu v'Hashem v'Moshe Avdoi. And why v'Moshe Avdoi? Because Moshe Avdoi, he was the leader of the Jewish people. And he was kol, he was inclusive of all the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. So he was a living, breathing, walking neshama. That's who Moshe was, and everyone saw that. At some point, they literally saw it. They couldn't look at his face because he was just neshama. They couldn't look at it. They believed that they had that same koyach Moshe had, to have an absolute, unfiltered, unadulterated, constant connection with Hashem. That's Vayiminu v'Hashem u'Moshe Avdoi. They believed in themselves. They believed that the koyach of Moshe, as the Baal Tanya says, and the Bas Ayin says, we all have that koyach of Moshe inside of us. We're all living the reality of Moshe, of connection all the time. Why at this point did they say, Zeh Keli Vanveyu? They pointed and they saw God. Because Hashem destroyed the Mitzrayim, explains Rav Tzadok. And when Hashem destroyed the Mitzrayim, there was no vestige of a blockage left between us and connection with the Bari Olam. It was all Kedusha, it was all Tahara, it was all purity. It was all clear. When everything's clear, when everything's real, when everything's true, Zeh Keli, I see God. I see God, He's here. He's here, He's destroyed the Mitzrayim. He's destroyed my constrictions. He's taken away my challenges. He's taken away the tomb of the blockages. That's Zeh Keli. Zeh Keli. What's Vanveyu? Explains the Midrash. Vanveyu is referring to Nevei, a resting place. The Beis HaMikdash, explains the Mechilta. Rav Tzadok says, which Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash in their hearts. The temple, the resting place, the holy abode for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is in the heart of every Jew. The famous Alshich says, Shachanti b'soicham, Hashem rests inside you. And the Nefesh HaChaim says that the whole entire Beis HaMikdash and the Kalev and the Torah, all the vessels, all the various items are for one reason, are for you to know that Hashem is going to rest inside of you. It's all a remez, he says. His the main purpose is so you should know that Hashem can rest inside of you. That is Zeh Keli Vanveyu. I see God. God has destroyed the midstream. He's destroyed the restrictions. He's destroyed the constrictions. Zeh Keli Vanveyu. You have taken away all my constrictions. I see you. Zeh Keli, this is my God. This is Hashem. He's here. Vanveyu. I will make a resting place from the Beis HaMikdash. Which Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash in your heart. This is what we have to live. Zeh Keli Vanveyu. This is my God. You have removed my constrictions. You have removed my challenges. You have removed my difficulties. Vanveyu. Now that I see you, now that I know that you're here with me, that I have no more blockages, no more tumas, no more challenges, I can make you the resting place of my heart because I live as a soul. Ve'aminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. They lived and believed in their souls, in themselves, that they are always connected. And that chevel, that rope, that oneness can never be ununited. It's a unity which is forever. This is what they saw at Kriyas Yansuf with the destruction of the Mitzrayim. This is why we don't need matzah anymore. 7 days we eat matzah, we didn't eat emuna. Explains the Zohar, Shlevi and many others. And Rav Tzadok, the idea is that I get this high heights and then I ride with that. I use the matzah to obliterate Mitzrayim. I ingest emuna. I ingest the reality of Hashem. The fact that I am a soul, which is a chelek elokai mimal, and Hashem is resting inside of me. All I have to do is be in touch with that. All I have to do is wipe away the constrictions. So what's the biggest challenge in our life? In our lives? The biggest challenge in our life, in your life, in my life, in everyone's life, is to feel in touch with our souls. We have to destroy the Mitzrayim, destroy the Tumah, destroy the negativity saying, you're not holy. What was Mitzrayim again? They absorbed them. They said, you're not a soul, you're not holy, you're not connected. Kriyas Yamsuf rips that away. And this is Pshat in the Zohar, the Mishnah Berurah quotes. If you live with that, if you live with the 100% reality, existence, that you're a soul, that you're connected, that you have the power of infinity, Hashem says, I can't have tainus on you. You're one with me. You're sitting right next to me. You're at my farbrengen. You're at my kiddush. You're at my simcha. You are with me. And that is what we have to learn here. That's the Shir Hayam. That's the ultimate song. That's the Mashiach. What will be in the Zman of Mashiach? It's Zman Shein Lem Chifetz. We have no more Yitzhar. We have no more blockages. We have no more Tumas. It's just me and you. It's just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just connection. This is the time in history when we will have that clarity in a visceral, real way. That's why this is the Shir Sayyam, is the song of Mashiach, because it creates that absolute factual reality within reality. It brings the spiritual into the physical. It brings the infinity into the finite, the divine to the mundane. This is the song of Mashiach. This is the song which we have to live now, get a kaparas of vinus, because if we live with Hashem, we have no sin. And Hashem will say, you're with me, no problem. No tainas. So in our lives, we all have so many different negative feelings, challenges, people who bother us, things which dishearten us, fears. We have to know those are all the mitzarim. Those are all the constrictions, the challenges, the darknesses. And we have to always remember we are chelik elokai mimal. We are one with Hashem. This is ve'aminu v'Hashem Moshe Avdai. This is why we can leave the matzah, because we're living with it. We've destroyed the Mitzrayim. This is the goal of us becoming a nation. What is the ultimate Jew? What is the highest level Jew? What is the Jew who will stand through every storm? The Jew who says, I have emunah. The Jew who says, I am a soul. The Jew who says, I can stand up to anything because I have the power of infinity. Like we said from Hirsch, that he said at the Seder in Auschwitz, they can never take this away from us. They can never take away our emunah. We are free men more than any free man in all of history, because we are always connected, and that's unstoppable. Be'ez Hashem, we should be zaycha this Shvi'i Shel Pesach, to remove our challenges, to remove our constrictions, to remove our difficulties, and to be one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be one with the part of ourselves that's connected at all times, to never lose that. And if we never lose that, we're never going to lose. Have an amazing, amazing rest of your Chol Hamoed, and have an amazing Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Hopefully you should all be uplifted together, and this should empower us at every dark moment to never lose faith, to never feel down, and to always go up.